team. Yeah. And they played, and you talk about Knock, I can remember them playing a junior team in that Knock area by the old schoolhouse, school diamond there. And I don't know who else they played with. But I can tell you, within a year or two, all those guys they were with the better team. They were younger, they were coming up.
And you referred to Lloyd Hughes, the Undertaker?
Yeah.
Okay, where did he live then? In Cookstown, or was he on a farm?
No. They were raised right on the Guilford Road.
On the Guilford Road.
Yeah, their farm, you know where the subdivision is part of their farm now?
Yeah.
Right, the dental subdivision?
Yeah.
That first, in the broken front, as we call it.
Sure.
The first farm on the left was the Harry Hughes farm.
On the left, on the north side.
On the north side. And Vern was the oldest. And Granville was the oldest. There were two sisters. One married, was it Jack Coots? No, one of the Coots out here. Who is the Coots that's on the sixth line?
Lloyd, or Harold.
Harold
Coots?
No, but the son.
Lloyd.
The Hughes woman was his mother. Lloyd Coots, mother was Gwendolyn Hughes.
Yeah, Gwendolyn.
Yeah. And they were raised right there. So, and Lloyd, they were just teenagers then. Yeah. See, Mac and Lloyd were about the same age, and Earl Steele was a good little ball player. And I guess Bennell's wasn't operating very much or something at that time, because apparently Bennell's, there was no chance there. And I think Bennell's had waned a bit. So anyway, that's how they got started.
Did you ever play any Scott settlement teams?
Just once. But then I think they tried to get going, but it never quite worked for them. In the era that I was.
Yeah, because I've talked to like Bob Brown played for them, and Norman McKay.
Yeah.
And one of the Turner, Doug Turner. Sorry, Turner's brother.
Yeah. I could believe that. But that's when you mentioned that church. I never seen their name in print before. But that included my brother Mac. But as I say, my brother Ralph died at the age of 20 in 1940. So
our family has a link to Fennels too.
Is that right?
Well, our son, you know our son Bill? Our son Bill.
No, I don't really.
He played with Jim Brown, and they played with Dougie Brown.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
In the Cowboys.
Oh,
they played for Fennels for three or four or 5 years.
Yeah. Well, that would be in the 60s?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. No, later than that.
Not much, because I like with Doug Brown and those kids, and then still Ron Zelke and Ken Matchett.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I pitched a little bit for them.
Yeah, Ron was involved.
Yeah. I've got a picture of that.
I have a question, George. any of this stuff, do you want copies, like I would guess?
Yes, we do.
You don't have these.
I
see what you're getting at.
Okay, the winner of the South Simcoe Baseball League won the Earl Rowe Trophy, so there was always lots of competition for that.
I just happened to run across these, George, and if you're interested and you wanted to make copies, that's fine. There's a write-up in the paper about Tommy Fuller and his dad and his uncle and I. And I arranged a salmon fishing deal down in Lake Ontario. And there's Tommy's picture. We caught some nice salmon.
I remember something about that.
If you don't want
79,
it. But I'd like it back, that's all.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
And here's one that I kept because I'm fond of it. But anyway, you may have it. On the Collings family, Bruce.
Bruce Collings. My goodness. Bruce died, didn't he?
Yes, he did. They were our next door neighbors when we our first house that we bought.
Nice guy, Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that, oh,
yeah,
God.
It's too bad. He was just before he was working there just before for a year or so before he passed away. I'm putting together the Collings family history.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's become of it, but Joe Saint was working with them, putting it together, and then when Bruce passed away, Phil answered, and it just is almost as if the family just, like, no, we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, I like Bruce, and I like his son Bill, and I like the whole family. Like, they were very good neighbors of ours. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't get much out of the family after Bruce passed away. Let mm-hmm. me put it that way.
Yeah. Well, he was more
is this any good to you? If you want it?
Well, the thing is, Mike is a Bradford boy,
yeah.
like, you know
yeah.
what I mean, like, and such, and so we're not likely to use it, like, you know,
okay.
such, because we're...
I don't think that
is. But Hollinger's are Bradford.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I say this one, this, we'll, look, we'll copy this, and
okay.
then it goes, same as I said before, it goes into the
no,
archives.
No, I don't care, I'm just saying if you want it, fine,
yeah.
make a copy, and as long as I get them back.
It goes into the archives, and then we have it. What position did Joe play?
Shortstop.
Yeah.
But basically in his sort of younger years, he put weight on and he wasn't so good at that.
He was a power hitter.
But he had a bad batting average.
Yeah, that's right. But
when he hit it, but he'd bat 200, 220. He put
Fells out of the playoffs with one of those, and we had the game, and there was a man, and I had two out. And Joe came up and he hit a home run with one, two on, and you took that series from us.
Yeah.
Got it.
Georgia.
And I'd had a good
again,
game
now
up.
I'm not promoting this, don't get me wrong, but that's out of the Toronto Star.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a picture of myself and another old guy from up at Midland that was a friend of my father's.
Mm-hmm.
And we took them, my dad and I took them way up to the mouth of the Moon River.
Mm-hmm.
The Moon,
yeah. And we were fishing, and John Power was there, the outdoor editor for the Star.
Now
it's a bullshit article. Yeah,
talking about pictures. Did you ever see that picture?
But if you want, fine. If you don't, I don't care.
Okay, all right, we'll copy.
Now that's the league. Remember, we had the annual banquet and everything.
We used to get big crowds.
Oh, jeez, you couldn't house them.
No.
And this was a new church. The hall was practically new at that time. Then since then, the town have torn it down and built a bigger one.
Yeah.
Which hall is this in?
Churchill Community Hall on the east side at the top of the hill. Then.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Now it's on the west side.
Yeah.
But you can see me there, Cliff Lockhart. Well, you know, in my speech to the Innocent Historical Society, I said, you know, and Ken, I think you'll agree with me, good umpiring make good ball games.
Yeah, sure.
And we had the best. Art Neshaw, I thought, was one of the finest.
Yeah.
Al Crawford from Minnesota.
But
he was perfect.
Yeah, he
was
good.
And fair.
These people were fair. Like, you couldn't get Art Neshaw leaning towards Bradford because he was running on.
Nor anywhere else. He called it, and because I think they were good, they're always accepted Ken as being good. Like, we didn't have many arguments with anybody, did we?
No.
Maybe, but I can't remember them.
Nothing. I must tell you a little story about Art Neshaw umping. So Art is umping a game in Schaumburg for the York County Championship or something. And the game is played in Schaumburg underneath their lights. Art's the home behind the plate. And whoever was to do the bases got sick. Art calls me. I'm just a kid. Calls me, would you do the bases for me? I sure, Art, if you're asking me to, I'll be glad to give you a hand. So I go over there. Big crowd. Art's brother-in-law, Joe Wood?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary.
Yeah.
That's Ruth's brother.
Yeah, I remember Joe well.
And so I'm behind second base, guy on first, and there's a play at second base, and I call the guy out. Now the other team, that was neutral grounds. One of them was from Maple. And they had some rowdy buggers on there. So after the game, they're going to kill me. Telling you, they're right out into the field.
Yeah.
And Art's out there trying to keep things cooled down.
Yeah.
Joe Wood comes out of the stands. And he came over near me. And some of these guys, he says, that's enough, boys. That was enough.
Yeah.
When Joe said that was enough, you looked twice.
Yeah.
Jeez, I thought
guy
they were
Joe
kill me.
Yeah. I never forget Joe, really.
No, Joe was a good man.
God, you know,
I really respected him.
Yeah. the nice part of the whole thing was you got to know a lot of people and we got to know each other better, Ken.
Oh, sure.
Through it. But one thing I want to mention, because I've thought ever since I got this material, you know, and I think, Ken, you'll agree with me. When I think about fans, the guy that continually comes back to mind is Tom Gardner. And there was nothing mean about the guy. It wouldn't matter, but you'd hear it all over the park, you know. It came across like boosting the game. But did you ever, there was nobody like you. every time I see Tom after that, you know, we'd talk about.
Did he have a favorite saying?
I don't know that he had. He would always, he was uncanny. He always knew what was going on.
Not that I can recall, Joe. I'll tell you a little story, Blake. I'm sure I told George the last time I was here. Joe Wood.
Yeah.
Hurricane Hazel, 1954. Hulk's daughter. We got an old four-wheel drive big truck. So Hulk says to me, we were on the phone to people in the marsh, there's trouble and so on. He said, and let's go down 400 Highway and see if we can get some of these people out.
Yeah.
Joe Wood did part-time work for the township. He happened to be there. Joe gets in the truck with us. Hulk says to me, all you got to do, he says, is pull that big brake when I tell you, because the brakes will be wet and it was going so. So anyway, I'm looking out the window and pieces of 400 Highway are floating away.
Oh, jeez.
And we got a little problem. Joe Wood, he says, just a minute. Takes his shirt off. He's got no shirt on. The hurricane's on, or it's still raining like hell. Oh, and we had a big piece of a hawser, a big piece of rope. He gets out in front of that four-wheel drive, ties it on underneath the bumper someplace like that, puts it over his shoulder, the rope, and starts feeling down 400 Highway with his feet, so that we didn't go tipped over. Can you imagine that?
I can tell you something about the same night, Kenny.
Yeah.
I was married the next day.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And I had to finish up some business in Toronto, and I picked my brother and Bill and Grace up. He was a police officer at that time, and they came up with me, and we crossed the Holland Marsh. We couldn't see. The whole marsh was a lake, but I think it was before the water started coming over much, about 7 o'clock. And the marsh was like we never knew, because we had no visibility. We just could see the road, and we come up, and I came across, I don't know why I did, but I came across 88 Highway for somebody, you know, where Matt Meir lived, you know, and Kenny. There's a bit of a creek go through there.
Yeah.
I drove through that much water there, and I shouldn't have. Because the road might have been gone.
Sure.
And that's what happened at Beaton, right? Sure. Because they tried to go through in their car.
The same with Woodbridge. Swept away.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget that. Now, we never, and our wedding reception, this is a
the next
aside,
day.
Was, no, our wedding rehearsal was to be that night. And we tried to get to Guilford on three roads. The town line, the Guilford Road, the 14th, and every one was a river. We never got there. And the minister from Churchill, he'd gone down to Guilford to visit the Neelys before supper. He never got out.
But did the wedding go on the next day?
It went down, yeah.
It did.
Yeah. But I've got to tell you, because this is such terrific history, George, I've got to tell you this. The last road we tried was the 14th, and we knew there was a chance of big trouble there. The gorge where the bridge was and the Guilford Creek starts coming through.
Yeah.
And we edged down there and we could see, all we could see was water racing through. And we stopped and we got a little bit closer, and down there is a maroon colored Ford right down in there. And we thought, my God, somebody's been drowned here. Lou Moriarty was with me, my brother-in-law, and build the kales and one thing another. So anyway, we had a rope and we got let Lou down on a rope because he was his son of a gun, he wanted to be in there. But well, he says, I can't see anybody here. The water was racing over it and through it and one thing another. Anyway, and then we went into Bob Brown's to see if we could phone, because we thought it was Porritt's car.
Okay.
The color was the same. The phones were out. And anyway, we're standing there watching, and up there we heard footsteps coming from the east.
And the people that had been in the car, like the car had stalled and the water's racing around, at that, when they left the car, they were able to walk east to try and get to a phone or something, which didn't work. They came back up, and so help me, when they got up almost close enough to see it, there was another two or three, the whole bank fell down in there. They could have been swept. That, as far as I know, Ken, that car hulk, I went down the next morning, that car hulk was washed down among those trees to the north side of the 14th there.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as I know, it's still there.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah, but there's more trees growing up. I should walk in someday. I don't think it was ever taken out. It was demolished. Yeah. Stones hitting it and everything. Yeah. But anyway, and Shirley was crying. She said, "We're never going to be married tomorrow." I said, "We're going to be married if we can find a JP somewhere." But anyway, about half the guests got there. You're talking about good ball players, Don Harvey,
yeah.
Beth, his wife, was Shirley's best matron of honor because they went to high school together. She got there about 3/4 of an hour late because in the beat they farmed the beaten flats.
Okay.
And
it was a swamp.
Oh, it was terrible. And they said then there was cattle beasts drowned up hanging in tree limbs and way down.
Well, the other thing that happened up there, which I never knew and never realized later, there were a lot of cattle died up in the beaten flats up
oh,
there.
Oh yes.
Because they couldn't pasture.
Oh, is that right?
Because
yeah.
There was everything was water, and the cattle couldn't ruminate.
Oh,
couldn't ruminate, and they died from that. Quite
I don't think I knew that.
I have a picture. I wish I'd have brought with me. And now that we're on the subject, on the 7th line of Ennisville, east of Highway 11, well, I was raised on a farm on that corner. As you go down past 20 Side Road, the railroad track came through from. Yeah. Flying from Lefroy up to Craigville at Stroud and Barry. And my sister-in-law, God bless her, she did this. As they went out the next morning, and the creek came through west under the 7th and went through that field and went under the railroad track just north of the 7th line. Would you believe it? For at least 50 feet, maybe 60. That railroad bed, it was 20 feet high, went out, and the rails and the ties are hanging like a swing bridge. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I tell that to people today and they don't believe me, but I've got the picture of it.
Well,
I've got to show that to you someday, Jeremy.
Just washed it.
It just took the whole thing
underneath
down.
Underneath
and then it all went down, like in down Nantyre Park and up through there. Yeah. It was north of 89 Highway, was completely washed out in two different places. Gone.
North Cookstown.
North of 89 Highway, yeah.
The 400. Isn't that interesting, George? You never hear that term anymore, road inspection.
No.
And I can remember West Bombury Council doing that.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a big day.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big day.
And when I was, we still did that when I first went on to Ennisville Council, the roads committee. We
yeah.
did the roads.
yeah. yeah.
Took a drive around. But then it seemed that before the end of my term there, which was all through the 70s, and that kind of that idea died out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got another picture in I want to shoot. But is it all right if I leave all this with you?
Yes. Or?
Because it's all good factual stuff. And if people are... This is what... I brought this out of self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's in fall of 1969. I'd had a slight heart attack, you remember that? And I was elected, I was laying in the bed the night of the election.
And they did the ceremony in your home 2 days later, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well. Oh, yeah, that's nice that you got that picture.
Yeah. You can keep that, George, I've got copies of it. The Bear Examiner again. But I must say that I don't know how far we can go here, George, because there's so many things we could talk about. My brother Bill also was a pitcher, and in 1935, 36, 37, there was Bradford, Churchill, who had Kingsbury at that time? Now, whether it was still at Houndsdale Imperial, it might have been Utopia and Midhurst. And Churchill won that league that year. No, they didn't win that league that year. But what was noticeable about it, and I remember because of that in the game, but my brother Bill could hit a long ball. He wasn't hit at a jack. And the Midhurst Park was the maple tree, usually beyond where the fielders would be, you know. Well, Bill, he connected, and he put that damn ball right over that maple tree. And Al Crawford said, "Bill, that is the longest ball I ever saw at Fifth Park."
Mr. Crawford was a nice man.
Wasn't he a great guy?
Yes, I can remember him back in my day, which is later than that, but he was still active.
He was a good hockey player as a young guy.
I don't know that.
Yeah, he tried it with what do they call it in the American League, you know, the American League. He never quite made the pro.
Well, that's pro,
he was a great curler, and he was a great horseshoe pitcher, because him and his son-in-law, Geordie Miles, you'll remember that name, they won the damn Canadian championship for horseshoe playing.
Well.
But Al Crawford died in the Cookstown curling rink. And I don't know who's curling with him. Their brother Jack was right there. They were both curling against each other that day, and that's where Elder Crawford died.
Yeah.
No, he was a wonderful guy.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And I'll tell you who, they knew him, of course, better than I did, but the Giffens. Oh. They knew Mr. Crawford.
Well, they would.
I can recall
going
up there to play, and Leighton had a great deal of respect for Al Crawford.
You see, their uncle ran the Alice Chalmers dealership in Menasing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Roger won. He took that over.
And Roger took it over.
Yeah.
Now they're both gone.
Yeah. Leighton's sister is in their house on Scanlon.
Is that right?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
From Texas.
Yeah.
She married somebody down there, and he passed away. And anyway, after Leighton passed away and Mrs. Giffen passed away, she came up and took over the house. Just over
that right?
A block from here.
Well, I used to see Mrs.
She's
Giffen
nice
on
lady.
The street. I miss it now. You look, their father died young.
Yeah. Heart attack.
Yeah.
This is 1948, in here, and there's the Bradford team, there's yourself, Ken, and there's Tobias.
Matt Tobias.
McGanny, Collings,
yeah.
Carson, George.
Yeah. George Carson, a good catcher, too.
Evans. Evans, is that Art?
Yeah, Art.
Art, like second date.
Carter.
Yeah, Bus Carter.
Bus was a...
James.
Didn't throw him anything good.
A long ball hitter. But he was the only guy like Joe McGanna. He had a batting average of .220.
Yeah,
but when he hit it, like a...
James?
Yeah, it was James.
And then, was it Steve? Steve Simone?
Yeah, Steve Simone.
He's the pitch?
Yeah.
I gotta say this about Steve Simone. I think he was probably the nicest sportsman I ever played.
Great guy.
Talk about a gentleman.
Yeah.
It didn't matter win, lose, or draw, it was a good ball game.
Oh, yes, he was a nice man.
So when you finished up at the end of the year, you always had this banquet up at the...
Banquet? Well, very often was in Cookstown, and you didn't know where it was going to be.
Yeah.
I can remember that sometimes went with who won the championship.
Yeah.
More than once in Cookstown, that's for sure.
I can remember getting... razzed over at Cookstown. I won the batting title with a .410 average that year.
Yeah.
And of course Harry Coase is there. So now I'm getting this cup or whatever it was for winning the batting title. And Harry, you holler right in front of everybody, but you couldn't hit me.
I got a comment, you know, what I said to Ken earlier, you know, that I think Harry Coase made us all better, because we had to work harder.
Yeah.
You know? And over the years, I'd meet Harry once in a while, and we'd talk about some of those games, you know. But I can tell you, my wife and I, we flew to Saskatoon, I think, on a Thursday. I wanted to visit. I had a first cousin still living up there, because my father's oldest brother homesteaded there in 1904 and raised his family there. But we flew home on the Tuesday. I had known that. I knew that Harry was hospitalized. Nobody said, well, he's in bad shape. They had buried him on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really bad.
Yeah.
That was a part of our life.
I didn't know Harry was buried, for heaven's sakes, for a week after.
No, because
and I wished I'd have known, because I'd have liked to have gone to his...
You know, I say in my little speech that, you know, that Alan Dawson and I got talking about it, about Harry. Well, Alan said, we, the two of us, concluded that Harry would be, wherever he is, he'll be having a dream team up there, and they'll be playing into the hereafter for eternity.
Have either of you got a picture of him,
Harry?
I don't.
Where do the family still live in Cookstown?
They've moved, unfortunately. Though Keith is living in Essa. Keith Coates. Yeah.
No, I don't know that. I'll tell you.
I should try to get one.
George, a name comes to my mind, and I could check, but if anybody over there would know where we might get a picture of Harry Coates, Jimmy Curry, the barber.
He's our source of information for Northwest.
Well, Jimmy would know all about the boys.
And Alan Dawson is living in Barrie.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Alan was in Aurora.
He was, but he's retired and he's living in Barrie.
Do you want to see if you can find a picture for us?
Well, I'll try damn hard, because
I think the truth
that Keith Coo's wife was Molly Kidd, and I used to take her sister out way back, Pat.
No, but I mean, the point is, you know, you take somebody like that, and you can see, and I don't care if it's the rest of the team, like, you know.
It'd be nice to have a team, a picture.
And somebody in the family like he has. One.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
Blake, straighten me out. Lloyd Hughes, still alive?
No.
When did he pass away?
And again, about 2 years ago. Alan,
I saw him in the barber shop.
Yeah, Alan Dawson did his eulogy.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
did a heck of a good job.
Here's a small piece of paper for you.
Well, I just want to make a note.
Yep.
Blake.
Picture.
Very good. Are requested to obtain a picture of Harry.
That's like my wife. She'll leave me asleep. She'll have KMT. That's my initials. Underline.
And
get this, do this, do
that. If available. Well, you know, my biggest loss right now is short-term memory is not good.
Oh, no.
The whole thing.
This stuff we're talking about.
Take the whole thing.
Because you may be able to use it for something else.
The old stuff's easy.
The old stuff is so easy. Yeah. But the trouble is, I talk to my own kids. They don't necessarily want to hear it. but today, Ken, I tell you. I consider myself so damn fortunate that I had the experience with that Barrie team, and with Fennel, and with Churchill. That when I was trucking livestock, Ken, they started an industrial league in West Toronto.
Yeah.
The Ontario Stockyards put a team. I used to take ball and glove down there. A guy by the name of Russ Kinnear, he loved ball. And Joe Ozen, who was the head cast salesman, he was a big umpire in Toronto. And when my Uncle George sold the business in 1950, we had a great big ball game in his field, and Joe Osmond was there to umpire. But anyway, so they entered the league, so they asked me if I could go down and pitch as part of the time. I was one of the pitchers. So I did. So I went down this one night at Redding Park, in behind the way back there.
Stockyards?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played there, and Jesus, they thought I was pretty hot stuff there. Well, I was going good that night. A guy by the name of Bruce Glenn from out near London, he was a good ball player. He became the head buyer for Canada Packers. Canada Packers had a team. Anyway, then the league executive decided I couldn't play anymore there, that I was I was an outsider, a dark horse. Anyway, I tell you, I don't know what you think, Ken. What would your life be like without a bit of sport? But then Ken was multi-talented. Like I wasn't a great skater. I played a little bit of hockey in my teen years, but mostly in Stroud. And I can tell you, Bill Boychoff.
Yeah, but
if you got hit by Bill Boychoff, you knew you were a hit.
You might not get back up.
You might not get back. It was solid. Yeah.
But he was lazy.
A bit, yeah. Well, he didn't.
He played with golf.
He didn't. You know, I shouldn't have been hit by him because he didn't have a lot of. The reason he didn't go farther, he didn't have the speed.
That's correct.
But stick hand.
Did any of the ballparks have bleachers, or did they just move back?
I can remember, who was the guy from Bradford that built the first bleachers in Fennels, and that was in the new park.
Hi.
This is my grandson, Greg.
How you doing, Greg?
How you doing, Greg?
Mr. Ken Tupling, yeah. Blake Constable.
Hey, Greg.
We were
nice
talking about
you.
Bill earlier on. This is his son.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
So he's putting community. He has put in his 40 hours of community service.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I was digging this stuff out, or my wife had kept that. My mother kept a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know where it was. Mother's passed away. Dad's passed away. And I knew we had it at the house. Jackie found it. She had it all in a big envelope. So programs from the gardens, New Orleans, so on and so on. Anyway, I guess I had stuffed some old Bradford witnesses in there. I'm telling my son today at the office, I said, I'm going to bring something over for my grandson, meaning your son. He says, what's that, Dad? I said, I got the whole paper, Bradford witness. It's 35 years ago now, maybe 35. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And here's a write-up. I had our Tupling Insurance had sponsored a tight team, and probably the main reason, because my son was playing on it, so I'll sponsor the team.
Why not?
Scottsville.
Yeah, sure.
Scott's playing on the team. So we won the championship, 3-0. Scott got the 3 goals. And I'm looking at that yesterday, and oh, that's pretty damn good.
Pretty damn.
I make sure my grandson, who's got a Tupling name, I have another grandson.
He's
got to have that.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I want to mention to you, George, while we're talking, Lauren West was the only one that mentioned the name. Cuby McEwen.
Cuby.
I remember. He, Ken, I wish you could have seen him. Because when I was a kid watching Bradford and Churchill play, and they were both good teams at that time, he played shortstop. Just about center field. But the arm, and there wasn't a person on the Churchill team who wouldn't have given that their hat. And I never knew what happened to Cuby McEwen, but Lauren.
I heard that name, but I don't.
Oh, geez. There was nobody living that to tell you about it but me.
He was Bradford, wasn't he?
He was Bradford.
And I'll tell you, the Nesbitts. Don't ask me why, but there's one of the Nesbitt girls works for Evans and Evans. She might know. Well, she might know somebody that wouldn't know.
She might, but by golly, I don't know how old she is, because I can tell you, when he played for Bradford, I was only about 6 or 7. And I remember Ralph Reeve was a good shortstop for Churchill, and Ralph Reeve said that Cuby McEwen was the best infielder because he could be way out there deep and handle a lot of stuff. And he net, but he had
the arm.
Bullet shot to first base. It didn't matter where he was. And God, I wish more was known about him, because I was going to mention that name, and then when I seen it on Lauren's dad, I thought, geez, somebody else remembers Cuby McEwen, because and at that time Keith Kilkenny would be pitching, and I don't know who was catching for Bradford. Yeah, like I didn't remember.
I'll tell you who else. Then that being the case, Peter Kilkenny might have heard something about Cuby McEwen.
Yes, he might easily.
He might, his dad.
Another guy that might know is Lloyd Colburn, who lives in Guilford. I should mention that to Lloyd someday, because Lloyd's older than me, eh? Lloyd would remember, I think, Kitty McEwen.
Probably. I certainly do not.
He wasn't a big man, a slim young guy, but holy moses, the dexterity that man could throw with. And I talked a lot about my brother today, but I got to tell you this, that when I played in Gravenhurst, well, that was exciting because we won the town league, and then we won Muskoka District, and then we went into the intermediate B playoffs for Ontario, and we got down to the finals, but Meaford beat us. Then the best three out of five series. So that was exciting. But I never, isn't it funny what happens, you know, that you maybe don't deserve or expect. But I went there and I played for the merchants in the town of Gravenhurst by the Gull Lake Park there. It was a nice place to play. Anyway, the catcher was a guy by the name of Jimmy Webb. And he had just come to Gravenhurst the same year. I don't know why, but he started to try and open a dance hall in the arena there, which didn't take, it was competing with Ballum, and that didn't work very good. But anyway, I would say, I would hate to say this, because Jack might be listening, they were both good catchers. But in one sense, he had Jack beaten. Now, he couldn't handle an infield pop as well because he didn't have the speed. This leg was probably the size of my wrist. He did polio, okay? But the rest of them, and this leg, he ran his own bases. But he would hit first base or second base without looking. Bullet, just down there, I can tell you, nobody got off the base. And he had caught ball in Montreal to Bill Dernan.
For heaven's
now,
sake,
Bill Dernan was a fastball pitcher in the summertime.
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah,
and
Jimmy Webb had caught ball from Bill Dernan, and I had the pleasure. And you know what he said to me, Ken? Constable, he said, if I have your speed and stuff, nobody would ever get a hit off me.
That's funny, I ran across.
But, you know, he said, you've got to work on your control.
I ran across a book, and I gave it to one of our girls at the office. Has two daughters attending university. One of them was last year's backup goaltender for Canada's national women's team.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so they're very good athletes and very hockey conscious. And I thought, well, maybe Nora would like this book, her husband's a fan and all this stuff. Yeah. Took it to the office this morning and said, take this home, Nora, and that. And I happened to open up, flipped it open, and here's Bill Dernan.
Is that right?
In the book. And I can remember Bill Dernan well.
Yeah.
You know, but he was one of Canada's very best fastball pitchers.
Yeah,
and one of the very best goaltenders.
Well, I could see where Jim
didn't
Webb
stay long.
I could see where Jim Webb would make it with him because yeah. I never seen a catcher that could just easily, you know. So, now Jack Constable had a weakness. He didn't have a good throw to second. He had a good throw to first, but yeah. Not to second. And everybody he knew that was his weakness. Tried to cover it up.
Did you ever run across the girls' baseball league? That's the Scott Settlement baseball team.
Wow.
The girl here, the girl in the ball, in the front row, the second girl in, the blonde girl, is Lil Ed. She was Lillian Westlake.
I can believe that. I knew her well. Walter's wife. Isn't that lovely?
You never had anything, whether no girls' baseball leagues playing?
No. Lil Edney, God, she loved ball, I can tell you.
Didn't she, though?
Yeah. And Walter loved ball.
Yeah.
He also played at Mount Pleasant.
That's
Walt
right.
Edney.
Walt?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Shirley Bowles. They played their diamond was what across the on the east west side of the highway?
Yeah.
Their diamond is just about yeah. where Wolfert's is now.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder if I don't know some of those people other than
well, the names are down here in the bottom.
Oh, my bad.
Might help you. Well, the only one that we don't know.
Connie Bateman, which one is she? My brother Bill used to take her out, believe it or not.
This is Phyllis. This is Phyllis, top right.
That'd be Connie Bateman there. There's three here, right? And then Connie Bateman.
Oh, okay. Top row. Top row is Phyllis Rutherford. Phyllis Rutherford, that's...
Yeah,
that's Charlie. Mrs. Charlie.
Oh, okay, middle.
This is Charlie.
Oh, this is middle row.
Yeah, there's Connie Bateman there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Lil Westlake is...
She was Gordon and Jim's...
Phyllis Edney's mother.
You know Gould? He was Gould. He was the coach. He lived out on the sixth line near 400, near where 400 is.
So that's Connie Bateman. Gosh, she...
Now there's
Bill thought she was something else.
Margaret McDonald, Greta Hudson. The Hudsons lived.
I know of the Hudson name. Yeah.
Yep. Piercy, that is Piercy. And this one here, Murray Ferris and Clarence Baines put the names on these.
Oh, damn.
And so they call this one Muriel Neshaw, but that's I don't know for sure. Were there two Muriel Neshaws?
Not that I know of.
There was only she was that Muriel Neshaw who became Muriel Cairns, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that Muriel,
Marjorie Sutherland.
Karen. Yeah, but she did. But she says no. She said she had. I was born up in Fennel. I was born up near Fennel's Corner. She said I never played ball in the Scott settlement. How we tweaked onto this.
The league, but it kind of worked that way. When I mentioned George Miles, and he was a son-in-law of Alcock. George was a good ball player. Pissed against Cordy Adams. But anyway. They played a lot at the Springwater Park, Midhurst. There would be kind of times when all the good horseshoe pitchers, if they were around, would come there and have a kind of a session. That's all.
More like tournaments, rather.
Yeah. But what, when you mention that, and I mentioned that through the war years there was a lull in softball, and there was because there weren't enough in Churchill, and the guys that were farmers were busy because they didn't have hired men. But my brother Jack and my brother Maggie and Ralph and Jack Reed, they would go to the service station in the fifth line corner. They had time after they'd worked on the pitch shoes until it was so dark and stuff.
Yeah.
And my brother Jack was a good horseshoe pitcher, and so were Jack and Ralph. But that's more history.
Take care.